Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We praise the Lord for this beautiful morning. We invite you to stand up. It's time to praise and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Cause he won't give up on you.
No, don't give up, Tom.
Don't give up on God. Cause he won't give up on you.
Sing it, don't give up.
Don't give up on God. Cause he won't give
up. Oh, yes,
on
oh, yes.
You. He's able.
He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God!
Above all names,
you are the name above all names.
You're worthy of all praise.
You are worthy of all praise.
And my heart will sing.
And my heart will sing. How great is our God.
Thank you, Lord. We magnify you. We testify this day that you are God, sovereign. There is no God like you, no name great as yours. There is not a need that you cannot address, not a problem that you cannot solve. You're a God who exceeds all things. Your word says in Psalm 113 that you even humble yourself to see the things that are in the heaven. You are not limited. You are beyond heaven. You are beyond what we call space. You are beyond what we call time. You are beyond whatever is. For whatever is came out of you. Father, we magnify you this day. And we are rest assured that in your hands we are forever safe. Thank you, Lord. You are a God who heals us, the God who delivers us, the God who establishes us, the God who promotes and elevates us. And today, we testify that you truly art our God, and we are your people. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Worship team, thank you so very much for a wonderful time in worship. And Brother Ibuku, I have something for you on the text. Well, this morning, Mama is not with us. She's doing well, but she's gone through a whole lot of stuff. And when your adrenaline is pumping, you get to do all kinds of stuff. And when you finish, you know the rest of the story. But today, I stand on behalf of her and the rest of our family to thank you all for your presence and your support during this very difficult time that Mama and the family has gone through with the passing of her junior sister, Helen. And we had a great service for her. She's resting in the presence of the Lord. And lives were truly impacted as we gathered together last Thursday to celebrate her life. You didn't get to hear too much about her, as we would have loved to have you here, because time was very crushed for us. So we didn't have an open mic, but I assure you that if we had had that, some of you would have had some sore ribs from laughing, just telling the stories of Helen. And thank God for her life. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, this morning, you're going to hear a powerful word. I am not going to be the one speaking this morning. We have a very special guest that's going to speak to us today. But I felt strongly that we all needed to hear this message this morning. You don't want to miss this. You want to take a hold of this word and pray for me, because right after this, I'm going to another service, and right after that, I'm speaking at another service, and then tonight I will be here also speaking again. So it's a very full day for me. Amen? Amen. So, and my days go like that most of the time. In fact, one of the sons in this house, the other day we were talking about the things that we're doing and all the things I'm engaged in, and says, "You are a very good multitasker." I said, I didn't hear that before. But I thought about it. Yeah, you know, you get to do a lot of stuff. We give God praise for the grace to be able to do so. Amen? Hallelujah. But before the message this morning, and before I pray with you this morning and the children are dismissed, I want to remind us that this is the last Sunday of the month. And on this last Sunday of the month, we talk about missions. And especially because in a few weeks, less than a few weeks, I will be on my way to the next crusade. And there are some pictures you're going to be seeing on the background of the crusade. We're trusting that God will even make it even bigger this time around. And thousands of people get saved. Healings and miracles take place. And we thank God for the mighty move of His Spirit that brings about wholeness in the lives of people. Can you imagine most of these people there are Muslims coming to the Lord? Hallelujah. Lives been transformed. That is the doing of the Lord. Amen? So, and not only are we doing that, we're going to be buying slaves, people who are building, putting bricks together, and trying. Can I see on my monitors here? So I don't have to look back. God is doing great things. Some of these people, in what they call brick kings, have been there for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Father, grandchildren, children, servant, enslaved. They cannot get out because they cannot pay their bills. They might have borrowed $50 from the owner of this place, this loan shark, and something happened, and they couldn't pay, and they end up here making bricks. And many times the guys don't provide them the stuff to make the bricks. They have to go looking for it themselves. And they are stuck in that particular situation. There's a guy digging out stuff. Look at how old that man is. He might have possibly been there for 30, 40 years. So, and look at the younger guy doing the same thing. They're going to dig all of that, go and make the bricks, and the guy sells it, makes good money out of it, but he gets nothing out of it, doesn't get free. So we go down there. This is a family that we got out the last time, and not only did we get him out, we bought him that vehicle. Amen. He's never ridden that before. He had to be hands had to be laid on him so that he can ride that thing. I saw him the next day as I was ministering to one of our churches there. We have about 300 churches in this nation alone, from all of the crusades and ministry that we're doing there. And this is one of the crusades. The guy is the chief, the head imam. That's a Muslim cleric. That lady is a member of the Senate of this nation. They are both Muslims. They were in that crusade. Remember the crusade I was talking about where it flooded, the rain poured and stuff like that? They were in that particular crusade. I thought they were ministers until at the end they asked them to come because they were top people, you know, to say something. And they came up and they started talking and found out, wow, a Muslim cleric. Top cleric was there. In that crusade, there were people that were busy throwing stones, trying to drive people out of the grounds, but they wouldn't leave because they had seen with their own eyes and experienced a miracle. I used to think that it was around 8 o'clock of this baptism that's taking place there in one of the churches, one of our churches. You know, I'm busy baptizing people. You know, God is doing great things. That's basically what I'm saying to you today. God is doing great things. Those things, hallelujah. Those things are not happening by chance. You see this guy here? This guy, for a year and a half, could not bend. could not squat like that. And all of their washrooms, you had to squat. This guy, God supernaturally healed him while I was preaching, and he started squatting. Won't you celebrate that you can finally go to the washroom comfortably? I can't even imagine. This is one of our churches, it's a small group, about 150, 200 people, that particular group. This is where I was negotiating with one of those owners to purchase one of those slaves. I was negotiating and giving pain to buy that person out. Hallelujah. God is good. Somebody celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Young and old are coming to the Lord, touched by the power of God. And all of this is happening, yes, with your prayers, but also with your generous giving. God is impacting lives. People like that young man's mouth wide open, his mouth is wide open because he's just seen a miracle. Hallelujah. What on earth just happened? Huh? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a welcome, just garlands, flowers and stuff. They do stuff like that. God is gracious to us. That's Pastor John and I preaching. I'm preaching and he's interpreting for me. His wife was supposed to do the interpretation. But this particular day, this is that last one I went in. Exactly 2 years now. It was in April. April the 24th or something like that. So today is the what, 26th? Yeah. So exactly 2 years ago. And his wife and his children were coming with us. And then they got a call from the crusade grounds that there were people there with guns. And they were throwing stones. So he sent his wife back. And back. I said, why are they going back? There are people there shooting. You know, they have guns. And I said, well, let's go. God said, we're having a crusade. We're going. We went there. They couldn't do nothing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is God. Amen? We have his power available to us. And when you give for missions, you give in for stuff like this. That's another young man that's been bought, his family bought from slavery. There they are packing their loads. That bed, that's their bed. And that's all their property right there. All these years, that's all the property they had. Everything fit into some little wagon and still extra space. So we're preaching the gospel, the good news. And the word of God says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the rich, to the poor. First thing the anointing comes to do is to destroy the yoke of lack. Amen? I remember many years ago, I'm going to show you two videos just to remind you again about that miracle. You know, that miracle of how God turned around, flooded ground to make it dry ground, you know, still gets me going. You know, and this morning I was thinking about it, and the Lord says, why do you keep on thinking about that was such a great thing? I said, yeah, that was amazing to me. He said, come on, son. I split a whole river and made it dry land. That that was nothing. Oh, my God. I said, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, anyhow, God is doing extraordinary things. You cannot just look with your natural eyes and think this is all God is doing. God is doing extraordinary things, and he is going to cause us to marvel at the experiences that he's going to bring us to. We are pushing towards very dark days. But in these dark days, God's glorious light is going to rest upon his chosen. You have not known God as you should. I have not. And none of us will be able to truly know God, because God is not knowable. But he says the people that know their God do exploits. But at the same time, I'm telling you that even when we read the Bible, that is not even elementary understanding of who God is. That is God trying to dumb down things so that we can comprehend at least a little. God is beyond time and space. You think about space. I'm in space right now. Are you with me? But God is beyond space. But where is that? The word of God says in Psalm 113, God humbles himself to even see the things in heaven. So he's even beyond heaven. Are you with me? He's beyond time. He started time. Now, is there a problem that you have that God cannot resolve? Think about that. There's nothing that God cannot do for you or me. So today, let us be willing to embrace his fullness and just let God be God. Well, time is fast moving, but let me just show you. and please, if you want to give today's missions, I need for you to do your best over and above your regular giving. Dig deep and give towards missions. Even talking about Sister Helen, we did say in lieu of flowers, donations to Glory and Peace. Guess where that is going? That's not going to bury her. That's going to missions, because she believed in missions. Amen? So whatever people give towards her memorial, we funnel it into missions so that lives can be changed, so lives can be transformed. Missions is very important. The last command of the Lord to us is go into all the world and preach the gospel. This particular nation is on the news over and over again. How timely that it is during this time that there's all this crisis going on, that God is sending us back into that nation. We need lots of resources to do it. We are about 20% into what the budget is supposed to be, but that's not an issue. I just need for you today, if you will step up. I know many of us have given already. Go deeper. I'm going deeper. Let's all go deeper. Let's get this assignment accomplished. Amen? With the war going on, you know, we used to, the buses, like we rent a lot of buses to bring people to the grounds. And each bus was $100. I just found out the other day because of the war and the gas prices, it's now $175. That's like $200 or more Canadian for one bus. Everybody's trying to make a buck. Well, so we're going to do it. The assignment is going to be accomplished. And more than your finances sown today and next Sunday, if you don't have it Sunday, next Sunday also. Amen? Because right after that, I'll be gone. In fact, they were wanting me to come even sooner than I was planning on, but the cost of making the change was way too much. I said, no. You know, I'm going to be going a day after my birthday, and they wanted me to come a day before my birthday, and said, I said, that's a day before my birthday. They said, well, you celebrate your birthday here. I said, but God is good, amen? All right, let me just show you quickly this first video. Like hailstones. So that was happening around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The crusade was supposed to start at around 4 o'clock. If you can see, this is late at night, but if you can see from the reflection, you can see that there's still water. You can see it. Right?
Today it rained, hail, and all kinds of mess, and some of the buses.
It's around 9:45 in the evening. I thought it was around 8 o'clock.
People,
those guys with guns. Police is called down there. If you saw the police vehicle.
The Muslims that came to the grounds today and throwing stones, trying to terrorize the people from coming.
If you look carefully as we go in, you will see my camera pointed to the ground because I wasn't sure what was happening. You will see dirt. And you see the dirt is here, dry. I was using my phone, it's not very clear.
This is the second largest Islamic nation in the world. And there are people here wanting to hear the word of God. In spite of all the persecution, they are here. So give yourself to the purposes of God in spite of all the challenges. I thank everyone that has given for the preaching of the gospel. We celebrate the goodness of God.
Okay.
Amen.
Oh, this is very brief.
John. Yes,
it's
ready.
Interpreted for me.
Well, anyway. On the outside, it's all wet in the grounds. And that's where you saw those masses of people there. The people are sitting on the ground, and it's dry. It is dry. How did God do that? Well, He's God. He's God. And I say this to you as I'm going to pray now and then release the man of God to bring the word of God to us. That same God can resolve whatever issues you are facing in your life. Like that. Amen? He can turn it around just like that. God will outlast every problem that you will ever face. And because he's in you, you will outlast every problem you will ever face. Because God is faithful. Amen? So be at peace today, recognizing that this faithful God is a God who will elevate you, promote you, establish you, and cause you to flourish in every sphere of life. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the glorious things that you are doing and the things, O God, that you yet unveil in us and through us. Today, we rest ourselves fully assured that you, our sovereign Lord, will do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think, according to your power that is working in us. Nothing that we can we do in our strength and our own ability in a sustainable way. But there is a power that's made available to us, even your power that sustains us, that causes us to rise from the place of death and defeat to a place of divine wholeness. You, the God who shattered the stronghold of lack, and that was your first miracle. Because you turned water into wine because they lacked wine. You are the same God who will cause us to experience your supernatural abundance and shut down the backbone of lack. Lord, we go into this nation knowing that you are well able to do extraordinary things in us and through us, knowing, the Lord, oh God, that you will save the lives of men and women. Children are going to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. But we also know, Father, that you want to bring them out of the slavery, not only of sin, but the slavery that has kept them in captivity, in the place of limitation, that slaves are going to be bought and brought out. We are thankful, and Lord, oh God, that you will turn the lives of people around, that stories are going to change, because your name is above every other name. I thank you for your people here present today. And Lord, oh God, that not one person is going to leave here the same, because your glory shall be revealed in every one of us. And we will testify truly that you are God, sovereign over our lives. Let healing power flow. Let deliverance take place. Let hearts be encouraged today. We bless our children as they go to their classes. Father, in Jesus' name, be there with them. Be with the teachers. Help them to grow up in the things of your Spirit. We pray, God, for this nation, for all that are connected, O God, in this nation and the nations of the world. We ask, O God, for your intervention. Once again, intervene and cause life and hope to be established in your people. We trust you, Father. We trust you. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with everything that concerns us. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will even now be done as it is in heaven. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, at this time, we are going to hear from one of the sons of the Most High God. This, for some of you, this will be the first time you're hearing this word. But for others, this will be the second time. But whether it's the first or second time, I want you to pay attention, because many times you don't get everything you need to get the first time you heard it. So I want you to embrace this word and hear God speak to you as an individual and be at peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. And depend on how well the timing of this message, when it's finished, I will be with you till the end. And if not, I will take off and Pastor Paul will wrap up communion time and other stuff with you. Amen? All right, let's hear the word of the Lord from Pastor Ujo. You are not of this world. You're not called to act like them. We're measuring our standard in life based on what everybody else is doing. God is saying, no, that's not what I called you to do. I called you to know the truth.
Amen. Amen. All right, God has been working with us. You see, this period is very, very powerful and very sensitive. I am bringing you greetings from here. I'm here in Toronto at the moment, and I'm here with my lovely wife and children. I'm bringing you greetings from all of them. And I'm trusting God in a very short time, I'll be there in person to see you, shake hands with everybody, and also get the blessings of the Papa of the house. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. Sir, I was so blessed this morning. I was part of the service. Those words, those testimonies, they are faith-arousing testimonies. God bless you. Indeed, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my faith was stirred up by all those powerful testimonies that God used you to give. And we trust God that God is taking you deeper and further into the world for the sake of the gospel. You're empowered for it, and the provisions are being released already in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, God is speaking to us. I want to talk to us as we begin to bring or to rise into to a conclusion. Now, we are ending a program, but the spirit of the program cannot end. The glory of the program cannot end. It can only continue until God brings to manifestation that which concerns individual lives, family lives, and indeed the church to the glory of his name. Hallelujah. I want to share something with us tonight, which I have called Stick Around a Little Longer. Stick around a little longer. In the morning, our bishop spoke about things that spoke about authorizing us to rise and stay in the ambit or within the platform of being a child of God with the Spirit of Christ. And this evening, before we get this anointing put upon us, before this oil comes upon us to make us who God wants us to be, there is a need to understand a spiritual principle that many people do not understand. I want to use for a scriptural reading tonight, John chapter 20. The portion that Mama read in the morning, John chapter 20, she read all the way from verse number 1, which I'm going to make reference to. But I want to pinch it from verse 14 to verse 18. John chapter 20, from verse 14 to verse 18, and I'm reading the King James Version. The Bible says these words. It says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, verse 15, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Verse 17. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Let's close in verse 18. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he has spoken these things unto her. Somebody says amen. Amen. Spirit of God, bless this word and breathe upon it. Let every word that escape my lips be the very words you have put there. And let it bring glory to your name in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a child of God says a good amen. Amen. Praise God Almighty. Amen. I'm talking to you tonight as brief as I can, maybe within the ambit of 25 to 30 minutes, what I have titled, Stick Around a Little Longer. Stick around a little longer. You see, we live in a generation that is a fast generation. It's a very fast-paced generation. That's where we live. You know, when we're growing up and we didn't know very much about fast food until there were fast food joints, which we have all over the place today. We have fast food places. These are places where if you're hungry, you just go there, you just place an order of your food, you sit down, and they bring you the food that is already prepared and you eat. And all of a sudden, people thought that this fast food is not fast enough anymore. So there is now a drive-thru. This time you don't want to sit down. You just get to the point and you punch some buttons and you are told, you are asked what you want, you tell them what you want, and before you get to the window, your order is set and you take your order and you drive away. We live in a generation where people don't want to wait. They don't understand what the Bible means when it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. People don't understand that anymore. People want something fast-paced. People don't want to wait upon God. People don't want to sit down and pray until they see a change. We live in this fast-paced generation, and sometimes it wants to look like people are trying to modernize God, if you like. If there was a new edition God, a modernized Holy Ghost, it's a new improved Spirit of God. But I'm here to submit to everyone under the sound of my voice that Jesus Christ is the same. Yeah. Yesterday and today and forever. And for anybody who will stick with him, who will stay with him, there will always be a reward that is not given to those who are serving God out of convenience. As I began to pray for this service, the Lord said to me, there are people in church that are always in a hurry. If God doesn't do it at their own pace, then they think something is not right. If God doesn't do it the way they want it, they think something is not working. But I heard Bishop speak this morning when Bishop said, God does not need one. He doesn't need to touch here and touch here and touch here and touch here to get a miracle done. When you wait upon God, God doesn't have to go from step one to step two and to step three. No, excuse me. God can go from step one to 10 and even from step one to 100 because he is God. Now, that led me to prophesy to somebody under the sound of my voice. You have wondered why things have happened with others. Others have given their testimonies. Others are rejoicing. Yet you are wondering, what have I done wrong? Why is God not answering my prayer? Why can't I just get married and settle down? Why can't my financial life settle? Why you are wondering how can and when can that be? I came to tell you that by the virtue of resurrection service, you have been authorized to rise to the point where your bills are paid. You have been authorized to rise to the point where your marriage will be solidified. And you have been authorized to rise to the point where your documental issue will be sorted in the name of Jesus. That's a good place for somebody to shout an amen. And let me tell you the story. I want to sit on this story in John chapter 20. In John chapter 2, I began to read from verse 14, but for better understanding, let us begin to journey together from verse number 1. From verse number 1, the Bible tells us about a woman who is called, or who was called, Mary Magdalene. And sometimes people think that Magdalene is her surname. No, and Magdalene was not her surname. Magdalene was speaking about where she originated from, where she came from. She came from a city called Magdala. So in order for people to know that she's different from the other Mary, they call her Mary Magdalene, or Mary from Magdala. And you know the story of this woman. The Bible tells us in Mark's account that Jesus delivered her from demons. Jesus set her free from demons. And all of a sudden, there is something unique about this woman. And she followed Jesus when Jesus was alive. And she followed Jesus when Jesus was going through the challenges. And she now followed Jesus even when Jesus was dead. That suggests to me she was not a worshiper of convenience. She was not a person who serves God when things are okay. I wouldn't come to church when things are not okay. There are people under the sound of my voice. You are serving God when it is convenient. But can I submit to you that the God of the Bible cannot be worshipped out of convenience? If you are worshipping God out of convenience, you cannot get the best out of him. In fact, the best of God is given to those who are serving God when it is not convenient, when they have to sacrifice, when they got bills to pay, yet they still come to church, when marriage is shaken, yet they come to church, they don't feel too well, but they come to church. I'm not talking about people where you ask them, why were you not in church? He said, I got a headache. Why were you not in church? I got some problem. Excuse me, if you got a problem, where do you think is the best place to go? I think, if I submit to you, that you should come into the presence of Almighty God. And the Bible tells us in verse 1 of John 20, he said, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. Ladies and gentlemen, when it was yet dark, that means at that point, she was alone. At that point, it was not convenient. At that point, she should be afraid as a woman to walk alone to the sepulcher. But she was too much in love with Jesus to fear. Do you know the Bible says perfect love has turned away fear? Yes, indeed. That suggests to me that when you see people who are saying, I can't come to church, I'm feeling so depressed. I can't come to church, I'm feeling so low. I said, then I need to introduce you to Mary Magdalene. What it means to be in a situation where while it is yet dark, why you can't see your way forward, why you are still in confusion, why you don't even know who will run away the stone. You tell yourself, I will still go to church, even if I can't pay my bills. I will still go to church, even if my spouse is misbehaving. I will still go to church while it is yet dark. I will stick around. I will still be in church. There are people who started church with most of us in Glory and Peace Church. You don't find them again. Go ask them why they stopped church. Somebody gossiped me. I was in some challenge. Nobody helped me. And nobody called me. I was in a certain situation. Nobody came to help me. And that is why they are not in church. But not Mary Magdalene. While it was yet dark. Oh God, I need to go on. The Bible says, and this woman, she didn't allow who will roll away the stone to be a problem. She didn't allow, what about the soldiers? She didn't allow any of them to be in her mind. She was going to meet Jesus. Do you know outside of God, there is a level of commitment that deletes impossibilities. Can I say that one more time? There is a level of commitment that deletes impossibilities. You don't think about it. It's not in your mind. Who will take away the stone is not in your mind. What about the soldiers is not in your mind. What is in your mind is your commitment to God, is your commitment to church, and is your commitment to your pastor. Whether you like it or not, you must be committed to a man that represents God because you don't see God. So whether the man travels or is in town, you are locked up in the church because that is what brings about certain dimensions of breakthrough. Bible tells us this lady by herself, she ran to the sepulchre that early morning. And she found that something. She found out that there was no stone. And she found out that, I like John's account, there was no stone and there were no soldiers. Probably the soldiers have all fallen away. I'm not sure. Maybe the Bible said they fall down dead when they saw the angels and all the lightning. They fell down. And somehow, ladies and gentlemen, this woman got to the sepulchre. And the Bible said in verse 2, she ran and went to the guys who were closer to Jesus, who were supposed to be the right-hand man of Jesus, people who ought to be with Jesus, who were square-shouldered and they moved around as Jesus' bodyguard, but they were all at home when this particular woman risked herself for Jesus. Oh God, can I ask you a question before I go on? Can you risk anything for Jesus? Can you put your life on the line for Jesus? But Mary Magdala, the Bible says she ran to these guys and said to them, guys, we got some problem. And they said, what is it? Where have you been? It's so early. Where are you coming from this time? And she said, I'm coming from the tomb. Are you serious? Are you okay? Mary, what is your problem? Where are you this early morning? And Mary said, I can't live without him. I can't survive without him. It's the reason why I breathe. It's the reason why I'm alive. I don't care whether they call him dead. I'm still going to go to the tomb. And God was watching. And God was looking at this young lady. While the rest people were all there, she came to tell them. She said, I can find the Lord. The Bible says to us in verse number 3. Please stay with me. The Bible says in verse 3. It said, therefore Peter and the other disciple, they came, they ran to come to the sepulchre. Let me zero in on verse 4 before we go on. The Bible says in verse 4, so they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Now let me sit here for a minute. How does it feel like to start life with somebody and they outrun you? How does it feel like when your mates are getting married and you are still there? Their children are graduating from school and you are still there. You are asking, why is my life like this? Why am I here like this? The Bible said John outran Peter. They started together, but John outran Peter. Maybe you are listening to me right now. Sometimes you feel pain when you watch Facebook and see your friends. They are having holidays in Honolulu and Hawaii. Sometimes you feel bad when people you started life with, they are telling about the new car they bought, the new house they bought, and you are struggling. How does it feel like to be outrun by life? But can I tell you the truth? John may outrun Peter, but Peter will arrive. Can you write that down? John may outrun Peter, but Peter will arrive. That somebody got it before you doesn't mean you won't get it. I feel like preaching. That somebody got it before you does not mean you will not get it. Yes, they can get married before you. Yes, they can get a better car before you. Yes, they can get their documents before you. Yes, they can get everything before you. But can I preach to you that you got yours doesn't mean you got mine with yours. Oh, yes, you can get yours. That doesn't mean you got mine. I may be late, but I can be the latest. Oh, yes, indeed. I may be late, but I can be the latest. Sometimes you start late, and God still makes you and the latest. I gotta go on. Draw me at wrong Peter, but Peter will arrive. Don't worry when people are drawn. How many of you know that misery like company? Sometimes because all of you are suffering, you don't mind. Until somebody begins to break through, then you begin to feel the pain of being left alone. Do you know that as little as Facebook like and Facebook view can make people feel depressed? I made a post. My friend made a post. He's got 1,000 views and I got 10 views. Are you serious? Is that now your problem? John may outrun Peter, but Peter will still arrive. I don't care who has gone before me, but I know that God, if I can keep on the journey, I will get there. Can you write this down? In the things of life, direction is more important than speed. I'm going to say that one more time. In the journey of life, direction is more important than speed. If you are in the right track, it doesn't matter how slow you run, you will get to where you're going. But if you are in the wrong track, even if you are running very fast, you're just getting lost all the more. Can I go on for time? And the Bible says, John, watch this. The John that around Peter got there, but he could not enter. But Peter got there, and Peter entered. So you can come late and be the one to enter. So Peter entered into the sepulcher. And the Bible said these two guys, they saw something. When they entered, they saw the linen clothes. They saw the linen clothes. They saw the napkins. Everything was arranged and folded properly. And when they finished seeing what they needed to see, they turned back and went home. In my mind, they were telling Mary, Mary, can we go? The place, you can't be here alone. This is a cemetery, Mary. Let's go. But I'm talking about stick around a little longer. And they turned back and walked away. But the Bible said that Mary was there and Mary refused to go. I'm talking about stick around. Just stay there. Stay in church. This may not have happened the way you want, but stay in church. Stick around to Jesus and stick around to your pastor. It is God's purpose. There will be shaking. There will be things that look like nothing is happening. There will be gossip. There will be trials. There will be temptation. There'll be all kinds of discouragement. There'll be things that want to make you stop church. But please, just stick around. In your presence, people came and they left. Your Peters in church, the people you think are strong in church, in your presence, they left. In your presence, they walked away. But why don't you be like Mary? Bible said Mary stayed. And she was there. She stayed. And the Bible says, In verse number 11, it says, and Mary stood there and was crying. Mary stood without a sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Now give me verse 12. She looked into the sepulcher and seeing two angels in white. Can I submit to you, when Peter and John came, the angels were there, but Peter and John could not see the angels because those angels are only to be seen by those who refuse to go, those who stick around. You may be crying, but don't go. Sometimes God uses tears to wash your eyes so that you can see. Oh God, I feel like preaching. Sometimes God uses tears to wash your eyes so that you can see. The girl cried and cried and looked into the same place. The men saw napkin. The men saw linen cloth, but there were angels there. Oh God, there are times that if you go away too early, you miss what God wants to show you. They went away. They said they had evidence. Oh, yes. The Bible said, and they believed. But there were other things they want, God want to show them. But God can't show them because they were in a hurry. They want to go. They want God to. They just want to go. But not Mary. Mary stuck around. I'm going to hang with Bishop. I'm going to hang with Mama. I'm going to stay in Grace and Glory and Peace Church. I'm going to be here. Let the cloud fall down. Let the cloud do whatever. I'm going nowhere. I will cry, but I'm still going to stay. Things can be down, but I'm still going to stay. I may have a shaking home, but I'll stick around. When you stick around a little longer, when you can pray a little longer, if you can just hold on a little longer, there is something else you can see that others cannot see. Glory to God. And the Bible says, she saw the two angels that were there. I like to see, look at what the angel said to her. In verse number 13, and the angel said to the woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where the lady. I like this woman. I'm going to ask to see her when I get to heaven. Mary Magdalene, what kind of woman are you? When some of us will see angel and be okay, we will see angel and be all right. The woman said, no, angels, you look like Jesus, but it's not you I'm looking for. I can see your cloth is shining. I can see how nice you look, but I'm looking for Jesus. Oh my God. I am not going to be satisfied with an alternative. I'm not going to take an alternative. I know you angels are wonderful. How come you appeared? How come you are, my God? So people will fall down and worship the angels. People are going to be excited to see angels. Mary said, thank you guys for looking so nice. But please, I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for my Lord. I have a relationship with my Lord. If he looks like it, I will not take it. I want him. I'm not going to let some internet pastor me. Do you know there are people in church these days that social media is pastoring them? They are being pastored by the angels in social media. Somebody with some new revelation. Somebody with some new thing. And it's making you confused about what your pastor has been pushing into you for years. One social media post of one person who doesn't even know where they are going has confused you because they sound like angel, not Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene says, angels, you are looking so good, but please, you are not the one I'm looking for. I'm going to stick around. And the Bible says, and when she had thought, when she finished speaking to them, the Bible says in verse 14, and she turned herself. When she turned herself, she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now I'm going to sit here for a few more minutes. How does it feel like to pray and pray? Now your breakthrough is standing in front of you, but you don't know. You know, in the morning, Bishop said that Peter walked to where Jesus was, and in the presence of Jesus, he was sinking. How can you get so close and begin to sink? You have gotten to a very close place. Here you are with Jesus, and you are sinking. Now, Mary Magdalene, the Bible says that she turned and she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, I want to pray for you that when you stand before your miracle, you will not miss it. When you stand before your miracle, you will not be deceived. You are going to recognize your miracle. You will recognize what you prayed for. You will recognize the answer to your tears. You will recognize the answer to your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why was Mary getting all these things? She stuck around. She was there. She didn't go anywhere. But watch this as we begin to close. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto her, verse 15, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said, sir, you look so nice around this part. I don't know who you are, but please, if you have carried my Jesus, I need you to take me to where you put him. That alone made Jesus' heart glad. So this woman sought me so much that I can't find Peter here. I can't find John here. I can't find Bartholomew here. I can't find Matthew here. That once I ordained apostle, I can't find them. But this woman who has decided to come early in the morning, even when everybody left, she's still standing. She's sticking around in church. She's not allowing nothing to let her leave church. And the Bible said, Jesus said, Mary. Oh God, now I'm beginning to close. He said, Mary. The moment he said, Mary, please look at that verse, please, for me. Verse 16. And Jesus said, Mary. And the Bible says, and she turned herself. She turned herself. Remember that the Bible told us in verse 14 that she has turned before. She turned the first time and saw Jesus and talked to Jesus. When Jesus said, Mary, she turned again. Now, what was the first turning and what was the second turning? The first time she turned in her mind. The second time she turned in her spirit. No wonder the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 3, when Moses saw the burning bush, Moses said, I will not turn to see. There are some things God will never tell you, God will never show you until you turn. You turn from your lifestyle. You turn from the things you are used to that which God is planning to do in your life. And the Bible says, when she turned and Jesus said, Mary, she said, Rabboni, Master. And the Bible said, Jesus said to her, don't touch me. He said, but go to my brother and say to them. Ladies and gentlemen, she became the first person to carry the message of resurrection. The most important message there is. The most important thing that God can put in the custody of any human being was given to a woman. Why? Not because she prayed, but because she stayed. She stuck around. She was there when nobody else was there. Pastor can count on her. God can count on her. That if nobody comes to church, this one will come. This one will give. If nobody gives me to support this program, this one will give. When you get to the point where God can count on you that you will stay in the face of all the odds, God will commit to your hand what other people don't have. Hallelujah. As you God get the anointing today, as the anointing comes upon you, something will happen to you. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible tells us something very strange and something very powerful. The Bible says that, it says, and Samuel took the olive oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. It was oil that touched him, but it was spirit that came upon him. That's what will happen to somebody tonight. As Bishop puts oil on somebody, it will be spirit that come upon you. See, the difference between the dynasty of David and the dynasty of Saul is because the dynasty of David was spirit empowered. The dynasty of Saul was physically empowered. Before Saul could receive the spirit, the Bible says Samuel had to kiss him. Samuel had to prophesy. Samuel had to touch him. Samuel had to give, they had to give him bread. They had to give him so many things in order for the spirit to come upon Saul. But for David, the day they poured the oil, the day the spirit came and everything changed. Tonight, this anointing is not like every anointing you have received. This anointing is not any kind of anointing you've got. It's a new kind of anointing. The man of God is just coming from a tour, and there is a fresh grace upon him. By the time this oil come upon you, is a spirit that will come upon you, and your testimony will be awesome. But don't forget, no matter what you do, stick around a little longer. God has something in the world to show you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you stand up on your feet, everybody? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Can you stand up on your feet? Fred, can you tell God, I'm not going anywhere? Everybody else can go, but I'm here, Lord Jesus. You can count on me. You can. One of the greatest things you can do for your pastor is for him to be able to depend on you, for him to be able to know that no matter what, he can count on you. You can be like Mary Magdalene that say, I'll be standing here no matter what. I raise my hands up to God tonight, and I decree that as this oil come upon you, your life will be changed. The Bible says, because you love righteousness and hate wickedness, the Lord has anointed you with oil of gladness above your fellow. May this oil distinguish between you and others. That between now and the half of this year, like June, July, your life will be an evidence that God taught you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much, man of God. I am grateful for the opportunity to be a blessing to God's people, and I am blessed also. And we are ready for the anointing. I'm not there physically, myself and everybody in the Zoom. We connect by faith that oil touches us also for testimony. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Wow, what a word. Amen. I pray that you receive that word into your spirit this morning, and that God do something extraordinary for you because you chose to stick around. People who continue get to know truth, truth that makes them free. And today is your day. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let me pray with you, and then we're going to receive our offering, and then we're going to share in communion together, and I'm going to be out of here. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the magnificent word that we've received today from your servant. Let this word be quickened in us. Let staying power abide in us. Lord, O God, that at no time do we stand with quitters, but rather, O God, in pursuit of you, we continue and continue until we embrace that which has captured us, a love for you, a love for your people, a love to see your kingdom come and your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. We give you praise that we are forever changed, transformed, and renewed in the spirit of our minds. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. We'll honor God with our tithe, our offerings, our pledges, our commitments, vows, whatever it is that, whichever way you want to describe it, we're going to honor God. And when we honor God this way, God will also honor us. He said he will multiply our seed sown. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, just come and give unto the Lord. And I encourage you, as best as I can, to give towards missions. I know you knew today was Mission Sunday, and most of us would have planned to come and to give for missions. But today, this morning, this evening, Sunday morning next week, even during the week, Wednesday meeting, Friday meeting, and Sunday night, we still have opportunity to give to the Lord. If you have not given towards it, pray to see how God will speak to you. If you've given already, talk to the Lord and some more and say, is there more you want for me to invest for souls? As we do so, God will honor our giving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, we're going to also now share in communion together. If you may. If you haven't received the elements of communion, just raise your hand and the ushers will get your communion elements to you. Well, I don't see any raised hands, so I can only assume that everybody's been served already. Rise with me. This is the body of the Lord. This is the body that was broken so that we are not broken. Today, as you take of this body and you eat, may God's grace abound towards you. May God's divine purpose for the reason of instituting this sacrament, may it be manifested in your life. As God's healing power flows, as the backbone of lack is destroyed, as every curse is removed, and every blessing bestowed. Receive this, take and eat in remembrance of the Lord. Amen. This is the cup of blessing, the cup of the new covenant, the covenant that God remembers for you and I. It's a covenant that removes the power and breaks the power of sin and the consequences of sin, eradicates it, and God, by his blood, transforms and even causes that which was meant for evil to turn around for our good. This precious blood is that which causes your life not to be stoppable. This blood gave you and I a change of status, removed us from being just humans to becoming creations, new creations in God. This precious blood cleanses us from all sin and removes all sin from us and brings us into a place of renewed living. The Word of God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be as crimson, they shall be white as wool. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It is because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that we will be able to eat of the good of the land. God has something precious for you. As you take of this cup, be reminded that you are the child of the Most High God. The price of his blood was the price of God. That's what redeemed you. You have a new value. You have a new status, the status of a chosen vessel, a child of the Most High God. Take and drink. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to experience you today. We thank you for your authority, and we thank you, Lord, that we are forever changed. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen and amen.